south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, today let's start with a little update on that volcano you've all been hearing about. Well, first I'd like to thank you, a couple of hundred people who sent me emails wondering if I'm dead or not. Well, not quite. And people have been sending me emails saying, John, are you going to cancel your seminar now? No way. First of all, we'll be in and around Guatemala City part of the time, which had no damage at all. Though I did talk to a cool gringo and his wife who've been down as repeat offenders to the seminar. They're doing their runaround residency thing and all that. And they happened to be at the Marriott in Guatemala City when the volcano blew. And they said on their balcony, there was a very slight dusting of ash. And again, it depends which way the wind's blowing. Anyway, on the last show, I mentioned this particular PGA golf course called La Reunion, one of the top golf courses in the world. Well, it was anyway. And of course, it's one of those very high-end golf courses where they've got hotels and condos and townhouses spread around the perimeter of the course. You know, you buy one of those and you get a free membership and all that. Anyway, as mentioned in last week's show, if you're going to live around volcanoes, and believe me, you think ocean views are cool, you ought to experience breakfast on your porch looking at an active volcano every morning. Talk about living dangerously, huh? Well, that's okay and as safe as can be if you're at that minimum distance of around 10 miles. Then the absolute worst that can happen to you is if the wind's blowing strong in your direction, you'll get some ash. And as mentioned in the case of this particular volcano, it's called Volcán de Fuego. History shows it's been blowing off about every 12 to 25 years. So if you're thinking about moving to an area that's got active volcanoes, just do an internet search, Wikipedia, whatever, and check out its eruption history, which is how I came up with that 10-mile rule. So then you might think, what does Johnny know about volcanoes? He's not a geologist or volcanologist. He only lives in an area that has a few live ones. Well, let me tell you, I used to have a house in the island of Montserrat in the Caribbean. It's a volcanic island. Had a nice big British expat community. That's where I had my house. And at the time, I think only around 30,000 people on the whole island. It's small. All reggae-type people, you know. And you know, Rasta guys on Caribbean islands spend a lot of time just looking and acting cool and smoking their spliffs and trying to act Bob Marley-ish. It's the women that do all the work, let me tell you. They're a force of nature, but that's another story for another time. Anyway, that little island has a volcano called Soufriere, a French word, and it was considered active because if you walked up to the top, and you could do that real easily, there was a smoldering little pool of sulfur at all times. No big deal, too, about an area as big as a garage. So could you call it active? Well, yes, because in human recorded history, there was a grand explosion in about 1630. The thing blew its top, so it's considered active. However, people's memories are short. 400 years went by, people came back and populated the place. And wouldn't you know it, I happened to be in Chicago at the time. I got the call, the thing blew and destroyed the whole British neighborhood. That was in the late 80s. And of course, since British and Americans believe in insuring their homes, we all had our houses insured, but the insurance company, the same one everyone had, just couldn't handle it. Even the reinsurers, you know, insurance companies have insurance companies too. Or maybe you didn't know that. Well, they're called reinsurers. In case the insurance company takes a huge fatal hit, there's another couple of insurance companies there to back it up. Well, the reinsurance companies went bust, so none of us got paid out on insurance. Talking about maybe a couple hundred really nice homes too. So back to that question, does Johnny have experience with volcanoes other than just living in volcanic zones? Hell yes. I got a house wiped out by one, and I'd paid all my premiums up too, and my insurance company not only let me and so many others down, they went bankrupt. Anyway, as mentioned, you want to live, work, play, and or do business at least 10 miles from an active volcano, wherever it is. And that giant PGA golf course called La Reunion? I just heard the other day the whole project was worth 80 million U.S. bucks. That's what they put into it. And now it's a complete loss. Why? Because the whole thing was within 1 to 2 miles of the base of that volcano. And by incredibly bad and rotten luck, That was the side of the mountain where the big lava flow decided to run off. Because if you look at an aerial view of that volcano right now, there's lots of live shots and drone shots of it. You can see it on the internet right now. The lava just didn't pour out of the top and flow everywhere. It just went down one particular side. And it wasn't the whole side either. It was only about a 30-degree radius. But anyway, last show you heard me talking about those fat-ass government types that run this agency called CONRED. It'd be like the emergency civil defense people in the States. You know, FEMA. And you know how efficient those lard bags are. Anyway, last week's show, you heard me dissing those guys because they just care about photo ops and issuing reports and they never do anything. Well, I was right again because just in the last day or two, it's been all over the news here in Latin America. There's congressional hearings going on right now investigating the total ineptitude of that government branch. So now, almost every night, you see on the news a shot of some lard-ass, poop-headed congressman dicking around with their cell phones. Then, on the other side of the room, sit the fat-ass, poop-headed bigwigs from CONRED, the so-called FEMA clone organization, trying to justify why they exist at all. So what you've got, in effect, is morons on parade. One bunch of room-temperature IQ pinhead lard-ass politicians putting the blame on another bunch of gray-matter-impaired pinheads. So I had their number days before the media picked up on it. In fact, yesterday I saw an emergency room doctor on TV saying more than half of the, I think now, 60 deaths could have been completely avoided if they would have issued each home or give to the kids at school a little care package containing 50 cents worth of hardware store masks. Because you see, what happened here was before the big pyroclastic cloud rolled in, there were plenty of unusual warnings. There were 7 or 8 localized earthquakes and a lot of noise. Plenty of time to put on a mask and get the hell out. And that emergency room doc on TV said most all of those charred and soot-covered bodies weren't just instantly fried. They were overcome by the fumes and the fine ash mist. So basically they were choking and gasping for air and they fell down. And then the heat wave and pyroclastic cloud came rolling in and you saw what it did to their bodies if you've been watching. Kind of like a mini version of Pompeii all over again. By the way, we all know that Pompeii is kind of the most famous city to ever get nailed by a pyroclastic volcanic cloud, right? And that was only a couple of miles from Vesuvius. But here's what you didn't know. Vesuvius has an eruption cycle of around every 20 to 40 years. And guess what? The city of Naples has over 1 million people, you know, is only 6 miles away from Vesuvius. So as far as I'm concerned, it's in the red zone because for safety, you have to be at least 10 miles away from an active one. So anyway, I've been getting emails from people saying, Johnny, how can we help the people who've been afflicted by the volcano? Well, the do-gooders and NGOs and international organizations have been piling in. And the goods, the clothes, the packages, they're all piling up at various locations in Guatemala City and Antigua, Guatemala, the town that's only 10 miles away from the volcano. By the way, Jen Galt, our seminar logistics lady, lives in Antigua, and she says all the gringos and expats there are getting distress emails from their friends and families up in the States, too. And she says really the only effect the volcanic eruption has had on the city of Antigua is that it's an extra topic of discussion at the little cafes because all they got there was a dusting of ash. So once again, I repeat, all stray gringos are accounted for and uninjured. Except, you know, there's always that danger of an old retired gringo pitching in to shovel the ash, like shoveling snow up in the States. And up in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Illinois, how many heart attacks do they report a year from shoveling snow? I can see that as the only pressing danger for gringos. So really, tons and tons of care packages are piling in from all over the world. The do-gooders have arrived, and the question is, how much of that stuff is really going to get to the people who need it? Because just yesterday, I was watching the TV news here, I saw a live shot of the highway that goes past the volcano. It's covered with lava now. And there were about 15 cops standing around eating Happy Meals delivered by McDonald's motorcycle delivery guys. Yep, come rain, shine, snow, sleet, or volcanic eruption, the Happy Meals will get through. From what I understand, a lot of the locals who've got some money are going to McDonald's, Wendy's, and other fast food palaces and ordering food up to be delivered on site. That is, if you want to call it food. But I don't see the locals who are affected with their tattered clothes and dirty faces eating Happy Meals. It's the cops. So again, something's wrong with the distribution network, even at that level. Oh, and by the way, those 15 cops standing around did not have a speck of dirt or dust on them. They were just standing around like, well, government workers. Meanwhile, the do-gooders, the NGO types, and the volunteer gringos and expats from Antigua, and of course, the bomberos, that's the firemen, were knee-deep in muck. But that's how disasters like this usually play out. Meanwhile, mountains of aid, food, water, clothing, even pallets of, get this, Coca-Cola. Yeah, that'll help. And do-gooders from all points on the globe are piling in. And for those of you who have sent emails saying, how can I help? Well, the main collection point in Guatemala City is the Tikal Futura Hotel. That's a first world hotel, a Hilton. And right now, if you go into the lobby, it's just filled with stuff, like pallets of Coca-Cola. So if you're going to send a care package down, just address it to the Hilton at the Tikal Futura complex. That's T-I-K-A-L Futura. F-U-T-U-R-A, Hilton Hotel. But even so, by the time you hear this, it'll be probably too late because as one group of do-gooders who seen the packages coming and said, I think a lot of this stuff, especially the food, is going to go bad before it ever gets used. But anyway, that's the score right now. We'll keep you posted. Oh, and here's some weird news. A friend of mine, a gringo who came down to an expat seminar and ended up staying, he decided to follow my recommendation. He bought a George Bush phone, a dumb phone, you know, to use, well, for almost everything because it can't be tracked. It's prepaid and truly dumb. And he bought a cheap kind of smartphone for around $35 just so he could have Waze because it's impossible to get around here in Latin America by just following the road signs because a lot of the time there just ain't any. And I'll tell you, as much as I hate Google, they did a good job in mapping out Latin America so far. In fact, they've got all the big cities down. And a lot of the side roads out in the boonies, too. And you know, I'm out in the boonies. The other day I went looking for the place I'm in now on Google Maps and such. And it was, well, pretty much impossible to find. Just huge swaths of coffee fields with a few dotted buildings and roofs sticking through here and there. So hopefully I'll never see one of those Google cars with the panoramic camera on top. Be good target practice, though, huh? So anyway, this new gringo friend of mine bought a dumb phone and a kind of smartphone. And he found out something very weird when he installed a WhatsApp app. Now, you know, in previous shows, I mentioned as much as I hate that app, it's as if every single Latin person down to the shoeshine boy has it, and if you don't, they think you're from another planet. And since most Latinos are on the low end of the economic scale and have very little money to burn, that WhatsApp application, you know, voice over internet, kind of like Skype, saves them a ton of phone charges, so they've all got it. Anyway, when you sign up for it, it says you need to have a Google account. So if you don't have a Google account, you gotta go in and make one. So my new gringo friend says. Now, it seems like these days, unfortunately, everyone's got a Google account, even me. Now, my gringo friend did not want to hook up his WhatsApp account to his own Google account, so he opened a second Gmail account. And when he went to create it, they asked him for his whole life story, as usual, which is why I hate those damn Google fascists. Anyway, when he got to the part about age and then sex, it said male, female, other, and get this, custom. Yeah, you heard right, custom. So in other words, you can kind of create your own gender. Well, isn't that nice of Google to give you unlimited flexibility with your sexually ambiguous little life? Now, last I heard, there were 61 different sexual designations, probably like 59 too many. But Google, man, they've taken that extra step. You can have a custom sexual orientation with them. Oh man, am I glad I'm living down here in Latin America where they're only male, female, gay, lesbian, and transgender. And because this is a macho society, if you claim to be anything else, you just might get your ass kicked. Meaning everyone down here now finally gets the gay, lesbian, and transgender thing, but there'll be years of lag time on the custom stuff. Hey, that's all right with me. Meanwhile, up in the States, it's gender chaos. Hey, but it's worse than that. I was just talking to a college professor who came down here working on his plan B. Just about ready to retire and get a state teacher's pension, he says, if he doesn't have a heart attack first or open his big mouth and get fired. He says in the past, he always went by the motto, when in doubt, tell the truth. But that doesn't work these days or you'll get fired. He said it's getting so crazy at the universities now, you can walk in there as a freshman student and create your own degree. Yeah, forget about math and science and the humanities. Now you can invent your own degree and graduate. Because you see, since everyone's a snowflake, so are degrees, right? For example, he says, you can get a degree now in music therapy. That, amongst all the other dozens of crazy degrees we've heard about, that guarantee you a job at Starbucks. Or, as I like to say, about 95% of all the college degrees will get you in the minimum wage club. Reason number 2,426.5. Why, I'm so glad I live here in Latin America. But colleges are screwed up everywhere. Down here, too. Turns out 95% of Latin kids who go to college will take sociology, psychology, economics, politics, business admin, all the usual suspects, all the careers you don't have to study much for, but it'll get you a nice diploma suitable for framing and hanging in the crapper. A guaranteed admission card to the minimum wage club. All right, that said, I'd like to read a little email. A personal, boots-on-the-ground story from a guy and his wife who came down to Guatemala. That's where I am right now, getting ready for the seminar, of course. However, I think you really should hear this, because if you're just a casual listener to the show and are thinking about a plan B but haven't been down here yet, well, this is a real typical example of what it's like well off the normal gringo tourist trail. So I'll paraphrase this a bit. All right, this is from Bonnie and Clyde. Clyde says, "Johnny, just a little boots on the ground report on our possible retirement scouting trip. We just visited Guatemala City recently, Antigua, Guatemala, and San Marcos, Guatemala, in that wonderful Lake Atitlan, most beautiful lake in the world region. First, in Guatemala City, we visited the local Price Mart and the Walmart too, and yes, they are mostly comparable to their first world counterparts. However, we went to what we thought was an Ace Hardware franchise called Semaco. What a shock and a paradox to this country. A better-looking combination of Bed & Bath & Beyond, Target, Best Buy, and Ace Hardware all wrapped in one. So, if you think you're going to come down to Central America and miss your first world goodies, well, just visit this store and it'll satisfy most creature comforts and more. All right, me, Johnny, here. I told you a long time ago, Ace Hardware came down some 20 years ago. They put their first store in Costa Rica under the name Semaco. You know, that happens sometimes. A well-known brand name comes down from the States, and it's under a completely different name down here. For example, the big box store chain here in Latin America called Price Mart is actually Costco. All right, then he says in Antigua, Guatemala, that's 10 miles from the volcano blow-off, he said, "We met with some reps from a real estate company, much more professional than first-world franchises, I might say, and about the only first-world comparable real estate company we were able to find in Antigua. Now, our budget is around $800 a month for a rental, so we looked at a few options that were plus or minus $200 in that area, both furnished and unfurnished. We looked at something in San Lucas, a forested area near Antigua, for around $530 a month, and a brand-new two-bedroom house, $620 a month. All the way up to a $1,300 house that is definitely what you'd call lower upper class in the U.S. And as you said, Johnny, most of the prices are negotiable with a 6 month to a year payment up front. With the exception of St. Lucas, the wooded area outside of Antigua, they all had wonderful views of the volcanoes. And they're right out in the outskirts of Antigua, which is the area we are thinking of settling for our plan B. Now, Johnny," he says, "we visited these areas before the eruption last week, and these are the areas we are considering that are well away from the volcanoes. So we assume they probably got a little dusting of ash, but don't know. Anyway, we looked at a couple of bulletin boards for housing, like you suggested, but most of the stuff posted in Antigua seemed to be geared towards the backpacker and short-term rentals. All right, me, Johnny, here again. You remember I've mentioned in so many past shows one of the best ways to find real estate deals is on bulletin boards that you'll see in all the grocery stores and malls. They call them commercial centers down here. In Spanish, centro de comercio. But if you're in kind of a touristy town like Antigua, Guatemala is, almost all the little coffee shops, bookstores, and hotels and such have bulletin boards that are just jam-packed with all kinds of services, tours, things for sale. You name it, every square inch on those bulletin boards is packed. So in the end, you really have to stand there a while and study them. And Clyde's right. Since Antigua has a lot of backpackers coming in and out for Spanish classes and tree-hugging tours and such, the backpackers pretty much have taken over the bulletin boards. But elsewhere in Guatemala and elsewhere in Latin America, where the tourists are few to none, the bulletin boards are just loaded with real estate deals, rental, purchase, and otherwise. All right, then Clyde goes on to say, We went to the wild and crazy Central Produce Market of Antigua, Guatemala. We went shopping with Jen Galt, one of the concierge ladies. The market is truly a labyrinth of flowers to fruits to vegetables to shoes, whatever. It's a sensory overload experience. As you've mentioned so many times in your show, Johnny, we managed to buy our fruits and veggies for roughly dimes on the dollar, and also bought some biff, aka beef tenderloin, as recommended by the Bed and Breakfast we stayed in. And he says you might want to recommend them. However, he says the selection of meat at the carniceria, that's butcher shop in Spanish, serve up unknown different cuts of beef, pork, fish, chicken that may not appeal to most first worlders' tastes, like, for example, my wife. Let's just say you have to see it. Then he says, Johnny, just a question. Is there anywhere in Antigua or in Central America you can get a U.S. cut of beef? All right, I assume he's talking about USDA cuts of beef. And yes, guess where you can get them? At Walmart and Costco, otherwise known as Price Mart. They actually have a section in Price Mart that has a sign on it that says U.S. cuts of beef, and they're wrapped and shipped and imported from the U.S. Now, I'm not into that stuff, but I'm into giving you information if you want it. And so, yes, you can get genuine U.S. cuts of beef, and they'll be imported. However, if you're really a big beef eater and you really love beef, all throughout Latin America, you'll find restaurants in every medium and large city where the sign will say Argentine beef or Argentine restaurant. Man, now I've been to those places and I don't order beef. They've got other things on the menu too. But I'll tell you, they've got all kinds of cuts of beef on the menu, often cuts imported from the U.S. It'll say it right there. In fact, we always hit one of those restaurants during my Expat Insider Seminar. Just for the meat eaters, of course, they've got vegetarian stuff on the menu too. So if you're really into meat and you don't want to pay those high import U.S. meat prices, hit a few of those Argentine restaurants, find the cut you like, and ask the chef or the waiter where they got the meat. All right, then Clyde goes on. He says, Johnny, the local supermarket in Antigua, Guatemala is called the Bogadonia. It kind of reminds me of an old Safeway from the 1970s. However, there is a Tory supermarket back on the Pan American Highway that's a whole different experience. It's me, Johnny, again. In Guatemala, there's a big upscale supermarket chain called La Torre and one called Pais. They're both chains with at least 100 stores. Anyway, Clyde says they visited a Torre supermarket. Torre means tower, by the way, and had a completely different experience than an old Safeway from the 70s called the Bogadonia. He says you might as well have been in a first world grocery store, although it's not as big. If you have concerns after looking how they deal with the meat at the central market, the meat selection at the Torre will suffice for most all first worlders, he says. Sounds like Bonnie and Clyde are real big-time carnivores, huh? Blame it on the caveman diet, I guess. Then he says, Johnny, we visited a bank to exchange some money. I found it surprising that a U.S. passport can only exchange up to about $500 a month. But yet, you go to an ATM and you can pull out $200 to $300 a day. So if you pull that amount out every day, it works out to between $6,000 and $9,000 a month. Go figure, huh? Then he says also the bank we went to was much more liberal about taking blemished U.S. dollars versus the local vendors who are very strict on U.S. currency. Only something with absolutely no tears, blemishes, snot, pen, or poop stains will pass muster with the locals. Then he says as far as culture goes, it seems like the farther you get away from Antigua, the most touristy city in Guatemala, the nicer and friendlier the locals are. Of course, Clyde, I've said it a million times. The more gringos packed in an area in Latin America, the more jaded the locals. Then he says the same thing. He says, Johnny, is that because Antigua area is where the gringos hang? Then he says, but it's not all gringos. There's lots of Europeans in Antigua too. But my suggestion, Johnny, he says, if anyone's concerned about a soft landing pad, Antigua, Guatemala is perfect, since there are lots of English speakers there, etc., etc. But we didn't encounter too many locals who actually could speak English, though. All right, Clyde, me, Johnny here. By the way, that's a good sign, meaning it's not nearly like Costa Rica yet, where all the locals try to speak English with you. And then he says, speaking of Atitlan, the most beautiful lake in the world, I think it's rained every day we've been there. Of course, it's the rainy season. However, the rain is somewhat predictable. seems to rain at 3 or 4 in the afternoon most days, and then again at night. Something that I don't think you mentioned in your show before is the lake area has scorpions. In fact, we saw 3 or 4 creeping around the wall the first night we were there. All right, me, Johnny, again, I'm going to comment on that. You know, during the rainy season, the scorpions like to come indoors. During the dry season, you rarely see them. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen one in the dry season. And you longtime listeners might remember the story I told about putting my pants on in a kind of rustic hotel in Honduras and was stung by a scorpion that had hidden away in my pants leg. And it's the craziest thing, too. When you get stung by a scorpion, your tongue goes numb as if you were at the dentist and shot up with lidocaine. However, we're not talking about those big badass scorpions you see in the James Bond movies and in those Mexican desert shoot-em-ups. These are much smaller, less venomous types. Normally less than a third of the size of the scorpion that crawled across Sean Connery's chest in, what was it, Dr. No? Yeah, I know, it's pretty creepy stuff. First time I saw one, man, I freaked out. But you know what? They're as afraid of you as you are of them. And the only time you ever hear of anyone getting stung is when they actually come in contact with one of them, because they won't come in contact with you. They'll keep to themselves and scurry away. But there's no denying they're here, as are all sorts of critters you don't have up in Minnesota or Cleveland. And finally, Clyde says, and I want you to take this to heart because it's real good information as far as cost of living. He says, Johnny, as far as our budget goes and our boots on the ground experience, we're thinking for the two of us, it's going to cost around $24,000 a year to have a first world lifestyle living outside of Antigua, Guatemala. But are figuring about $30,000 a year for ourselves since we want to travel to the States a couple of times a year. Now, that $24,000 I mentioned includes housing, entertainment, grocery, auto insurance, health insurance, and other miscellaneous things that we're budgeting for. And that's just to let you know what happened when we were down there, Bonnie and Clyde. All right, thanks for that, Clyde. So with that, you could plant the idea firmly in your brain that you could live an absolute first world life on a social security check if you're single. And like Clyde said, around $24,000 a year for two people. And for them, I imagine it includes mega portions of beef. But think about it. That kind of budget up in the States would mean you'd have to get very creative with the cat food helper. Oh, and before we sign off, don't forget, you can still sign up for my July 2018 Expat Insider Seminar. Kicks off in a month. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com to sign up. You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.